All right, Joshua chapter 5. We're going to start in a different way today. We're going to go back to Joshua chapter 1. So if you are able, would you stand and let me read a couple of verses for you from Joshua chapter 1. So we're flashing back. We're not walking through all of this. But here's what I want to point out to you. Remember what God told them in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Now, here's the part we didn't focus on a whole lot in when we went through chapter 1. Be careful to do according to all the law of Moses that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. So no Bible, no breakfast, no sleep, no Bible, whatever. Y'all figure it out. But day and night, you're going to meditate on it. That you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Haven't I commanded you be strong and courageous? Don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Twice in these verses that we focus on strong and courageous, we're told to obey everything that the Lord commands. Dear Lord, as we look at this text, I pray that you would guard my words and help me just to talk about what's here. Lord, I pray that we would see you. I pray that we would be challenged to obey you and to trust you, for you are a good God. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. All right. So here's your main idea if you're taking notes. You got your journals out. You're ready to write down. Anybody in the room like The Mandalorian? All right. So trust and obey. This is the way. Or how many of you like old hymns? It's a couple of you that really like old hymns. So then what should I be saying then? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. And yes, you're welcome for me not singing that to you, but instead quoting that to you, because I know how untalented I am at those things. So here's our, if you sat beside me in chapel, that's not fair. All right, here's the main idea though. Trust and obey. We're gonna flesh this out. Listen, y'all, there's not a main idea that could apply to your life more at this stage of where you are, or mine at this stage of where I am, than trusting God and obeying God. He gives us his guidebook. He tells us and loves us and says, here's how you're supposed to live. And how many times in our lives do we just not trust it and we do what we want to do anyway and we completely disregard God's word and we go love our sin more than we love our God and we get caught up in all sorts of mess and then our life falls apart and we're like, what happened? Well, you didn't trust and obey. It's not rocket science. This is the way. There is no other way. You remember The Mandalorian where they like asking these questions? Have you ever taken your helmet off? Has anyone else ever taken your helmet off? No, this is the way. There's a set of teachings in The Mandalorian that says this is how we do things. God's word over and over and over and over and over again tells us that God loves us and this is what we do. If you're gonna be my disciples, you take up your cross daily and you follow him. Now, let's be careful. We are not saved by works. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But we are saved to do good works. We are saved so that we can trust and obey. Here's your outline. 2 points. We're gonna walk through this, I think quickly, but I may get caught up, who knows. Covenant obedience. You're gonna see that in verses 2-9. Yeah, we'll cover verse 1-2, but you're gonna see that in 2-9 and then continued provision. Covenant obedience, 2-9, continued provision, 10-12. We're gonna save 3 verses for next chapel. I'm excited about those. We're gonna have fun with those too. So we got to start with verse 1 because we're covering every verse. And so here we go. Verse 1 says this. Let me just read it to you. Verse 1 says, as soon as all the kings, notice the repetition of all the kings here, all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan for the people of Israel until they had crossed over, what happened? Their hearts completely melted. Their hearts melted. There was no longer any spirit in them because of the people of Israel. This is like the football game where you are absolutely demoralized because the other team is dominating and you just don't even feel like fighting anymore. You just want the game to end. You just want it over with. You've seen teams before that they just stopped fighting. They knew they were gonna get beat, they were done with it, and they're like, I'm out of here. This is not gonna work for me. So if you're a military general, if you're a smart person, even if you're not a military general or even a smart person, but you go across the Jordan and you realize that everybody is completely demoralized, they have no fight within them, what do you do? I mean, this is risk. When you're dominating the board and you run the table and say, we're taking them all out right now. We've got momentum on our side. We're gonna keep momentum going. We're gonna roll. We're gonna do this thing and we're gonna take all of the land. And you know, sometimes in our own minds, we would even think, for me not to go forward aggressively and to take all the land might mean I don't trust God enough. I'm lacking faith because God's already told us he's given us the land. And so let's go, baby. Let's take it out. In our American mindset, in my American mindset, it's the to-do list. It's checking off one thing after another. And I'm so busy getting to what's next that I can't even pause to take time to enjoy what's now. And that's kind of how we've structured our whole lives. It's what's next, what's next, what's coming. And here God calls a holy timeout. And he says, wait a second, because we got a problem. So look at what happens. Chapter one, verse one. Their hearts melted. There was no spirit in them because of the people of Israel. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, go take them out. Now, he said, make flint knives. What, are they gonna fight with the flint knives? No. Circumcise the sons of Israel a second time. So what did Joshua do? He listened to chapter one. Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the son of Israel at Gibeath Haraloth. Now that name, which I may not have pronounced right, that name actually means a pile of foreskins. That's kind of disgusting. But there were 500,000 men that had to be circumcised. So maybe it's accurate. I'll stop there. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them all. Notice the repetition of all the males of the people who came out of Egypt, all the men of war, they had all died in the wilderness. This is God keeping his word. When they came back with a bad report, he said, you're not going in to take the land. And then they decided, which is what we do. We make really bad decisions where we don't trust and obey. And then we decide, I'm gonna go do it in my own strength. And they went and tried to do it in their own strength. And then they got demolished and got sent back because God wasn't with them. And so we're much better off if we just trust and obey the first time rather than trying to do it in our own strength. But all those men of war had died in the wilderness on the way after they'd come out of Egypt. Though all the people who came out had been circumcised, yet all the people who were born on the way in the wilderness after they had come out of Egypt had not been circumcised. We're coming back to that. Verse 6, for the people of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, a faithless generation, until all the nation, the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. They didn't obey the voice of the Lord to go in. They didn't circumcise their kids. They didn't do what God told them to do. I don't know why. I don't understand this. Let me read the rest of it and then we'll talk about it for a minute. The Lord swore to them that you're not gonna see the land that the Lord had sworn to their fathers. The Lord keeps his promise to give it to the offspring of the fathers, but just not to this generation because they were faithless. And so may we not be that faithless generation that doesn't trust and obey our God. And God then doesn't bless us because we haven't trusted him. We haven't obeyed him. We've just sat back wandering aimlessly through the wilderness for the 40 years of our lives or the 10,000 days that you live on this earth. And you've missed out on all the opportunities and the blessings because you started out with a doubt in your mind and you didn't trust and obey the word of the Lord. A faithless generation. You're not gonna see the land, a land flowing with milk and honey. It's the only time this phrase is used in the book of Joshua. He's reminding them this was the good land. So it was their children whom God raised up in their place that Joshua circumcised. For they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. So when the circumcision of the whole nation was finished, they remained there in their camp until they were healed. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So a couple of points here. So circumcision, y'all all know what it is. If you don't, you'll figure it out later. You're gonna be sore. We know this from a story about Dinah in Genesis 34, where, you know, a guy slept with one of the sisters of the clan, and they say, well, we can't give her to you in marriage unless you're all circumcised. And the whole town gets circumcised, and then two brothers take swords and go kill everybody. And so it's like, you're not gonna wanna go for a walk or fight or do anything of that nature. And so let's think about this for a minute. Okay, here's the plan. Let's cross a raging Jordan that's on its flood banks that nobody can get across safely. And so God puts the ark in there, and with his presence, as soon as they stepped the feet, they had the faith, they stepped their feet into the water, and then all of Israel rush past, and they get to the other side, and as soon as they come up, all of the flood banks go back, and all of the water's rushing down, and they build the memorial to remind them that our God is incredible, and that he opened the Red Sea, and he stopped the Jordan. There's the heap of waters. You remember it. We walked through it just last message. They get on the other side of the Jordan. Now, if they had doubts on the other side of the Jordan, can they go back? No. It is a raging Jordan River. Unless the Lord stops it, you're not going back across it. You're on the other side of the Jordan now, and in front of you is an armed city where the walls are shut, and everybody's inside of that armed city because they know you're coming, and the walls are high, and you've got to go take this armed city. So what do? Let's incapacitate every man in our group. That sounds like a brilliant plan, Joshua. We got two people that can fight, Joshua and Caleb. Everybody else, down for the count. How many of you think that's a good plan? It makes no sense. And what I want to tell you is that sometimes what the Lord asks us to do or wants us to do might make absolutely no sense in the eyes of the world. But if you're confident that the Lord is asking you to do it, what do? Say it with me. Trust and obey. All right, let's try that again. Say it with me. Trust and obey. This is the way. So what does Joshua do? He makes flint knives. Now, they say this was made out of obsidian. If you're in our geology program, I don't know. I can't prove that, but that's what the commentaries say because it was easy to make knives and it was used in this. And the Septuagint even says that these knives were buried with Joshua when he went to his grave. And so apparently they made knives and took a really long time, 500,000 people. This was not something that happened in 10 minutes. I mean, this took a while. You had to make the knife and then you had to do the thing and then you're sitting there and then you have to heal. Like, this is a big deal, right? So now let's ask this question. Why were the children not circumcised? You remember back to Genesis. It's in Genesis chapter 17, verses 7 through 14. In Genesis chapter 17, God comes to Abraham and God says to Abraham, I'm gonna make a covenant with you. And when I make this covenant with you, this covenant's gonna be for you and all of your offspring for all generations. And in all generations, here's what you're gonna do. You're gonna circumcise them on the eighth day. Not 20 years old, not 10 years old, not 8 years old, the eighth day. You're gonna circumcise them while they're a baby because babies don't remember anything and they will never remember the pain or whatever it is. But you're gonna circumcise them because this is the symbol of the circumcision of the heart. This is identifying with God's people in the Old Testament times. And this is the covenant that God made with Abraham. So here's your obligation. Circumcise all of your kids, all of the males at 8 days old. And then anybody that comes to join you, any foreigner, well, they better be circumcised too. And it makes no bones about it. By the time you get to the end of that section, it says to you, if you're not circumcised, you're cut off. You get the play on words there. You're cut off from the people of God. So what in the world is going on here? Y'all finally got that, huh? Okay. You got all these people wandering around in the wilderness. We're gonna go to the promised land. They don't go to the promised land. Well, God, if you're not gonna let us go to the promised land, then we're not gonna obey you. Oh, you ever had that in your mind? God, if you don't give me the one idol I have in front of me, then I'm not gonna obey you. I'm gonna do what I wanna do because I'm disappointed I didn't get what I wanted. I don't know what's in their mind, but why didn't they circumcise their kids? This is not a new command. This was known. They were supposed to be doing this the whole time they're wandering around in the wilderness, but they are not trusting and obeying. And we sit here and we go, man, this is just dumb. So you have circumcision. And then they're going to celebrate the Passover. So we have the covenant obedience that they did. We're going to move from that covenant obedience into a continued provision. Before we do, I got to point out verse 9. Verse 9, they said, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt. You know, I bet many people were laughing at the children of Israel. Oh, you left Egypt. Oh, you went through the Red Sea. Oh, but then you tried to take them and you couldn't. And so you've been wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. Your God's not strong enough. Oh, but then the Jordan happens. So now they actually do what God commanded. They repent. They circumcise all of their males. And so it says they have rolled it away. Gilgal relates to two other words that mean roll away. And so there's a play on words here saying that this is the spot where he rolled away the reproach, even to this day. And he moves from that covenant obedience to then a continued provision. So look at verse 10, and then we'll come back to a few things. While the people of Israel encamped at Gilgal, they kept the Passover. Do you know you couldn't keep the Passover unless you were circumcised? I don't know if they kept the Passover in the wilderness or not. Here's what I do know. Scripture only records them keeping the Passover when they left Egypt and then one more time when they were at Mount Sinai. So the only recorded times in Scripture where they kept the Passover would have been 39 years ago to the day. It's not just to the day, the 14th day of the month. It's also in the evening on the plains of Jericho. The exact time at sundown when you're supposed to do this, when you're supposed to kill the lamb, at the exact moment, at the exact time, 39 years later, they're finally getting around to obeying what God had told them to do, circumcision and the Passover. And here, these are two signs that are to remind them, circumcision, you're part of the people of God. You're part of the covenant promise. And then the Passover, God has provided for you a lamb to cover your sins. And these are both foreshadowing what Jesus is going to do on the cross. And then what we do in the New Testament times with baptism and the Lord's Supper. So before we get too holy and too anxious and decide that these people are just dumb because they haven't obeyed what the Lord has clearly commanded them to do, how many of you have never been baptized? Why? Go into all the earth, making disciples as you go, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them all things. Peter puts it so closely to repent that some people want to make it a work of salvation. Repent and be baptized. Listen, y'all, baptism is not a work of salvation. Baptism is the outward sign of the inward decision where we are identifying ourselves with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. We are buried in the waters of baptism, raised to newness of life. And I know many of you, because I've talked to many students over the course of my time at Cedarville, you claim to be saved. You put that on your application, but you haven't been baptized. Why not? You know what I would love to do? Don't clap for this. I'm not setting you up. I would love just to go out to Cedar Lake right now, in chapel, go out here, baptize anybody that hasn't been baptized. Just get everybody baptized. But I can't do that. You know why? Because baptism is a local church ordinance, and we're not a local church. The Lord didn't establish Christian universities. He established the institution of marriage in Genesis 2. He established the state, and he established the church. And when he established the church, he said, as often as you gathered, you do the Lord's Supper. And he said to them also that you baptize. Baptism is in front of your local church, and it is that identification for you to say, I'm part of the people of God. So here's my challenge to all of you who have not been baptized. What are you waiting on? Trust and obey. This is the way. Well, my church is four states away. It's okay. There are tons of churches around here that have Watch Care membership or student membership. You can go talk to one of those churches and you can say, look, I need to be baptized. You can do it on fall break when you go home. You can do it on Thanksgiving break and say, I need to be baptized. I need to follow in obedience what God has commanded for us to do. All right, I'll get off my soapbox there for a minute now. Got really quiet in here. They did the Passover on the 14th day of the month and on the evening in the plains of Jericho. And after the day of the Passover, on that very day, notice your repetition here. After the Passover, on that very day, they ate of the produce of the land. Unleavened cakes and parched grains. This could have been another feast. We don't know for sure. Verse 12. And on that day, the manna ceased. I'll come back because I want you to catch the repetition. And they ate of the produce of the land. That's twice. And there was no longer any manna for the people of Israel, but they ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. That's three times. Three times in two verses, what this book is telling us is that God had promised them they would go into the land flowing with milk and honey, and now they are in the land and they are eating of the produce of the land. Every single word. Y'all, I'm not kidding. Every single word that the Lord says comes to pass. Every single promise that the Lord does happens. So because every single word that the Lord says comes to pass, and because every single promise that the Lord says happened, what do we do? Trust and obey. This is the way. That's what we do. This is how we respond. I also want to talk, for just a minute about the manna ceasing. So for 40 years in the wilderness, they had manna every day and they got tired of it. They didn't appreciate God's blessings. And so they complained about it. 40 years of wandering, now they're in the land and the manna ceases. Here's what I thought about when I was preparing the message. There are many times in my own life that I'm really thankful for those moments when God does something that's just pretty incredible. I've told you about the bracelet that I wear and the memorial that this is for me. And so I have a bracelet of when God answered a prayer in a specific way. Think about it as a car wreck. You get in a car wreck and you're okay. And you take moments and you thank God for protecting you and keeping you safe in that car wreck. But how many times have you traveled from one place to another place and not been in a car wreck and God has kept you safe and you've taken it for granted and never given thanks to God for even watching over or protecting? How many times is it that in the normal blessings of life that the Lord gives us, the breath he gives us, the health he gives us, all the normal things that we take for granted, we don't give praise back to God or blessings back to God because that's just normal stuff. We always want to see the stuff that's on the mountaintops. We always want to see the miraculous. We always want to see the unusual. He gave them manna for 40 years. That's miraculous. But he also put them in the land and let them eat of the produce of the land. And the fact that the land provided for them is also God's provision for their lives. So if you're in a season where you're not seeing the miraculous and you're just seeing everyday provision that the Lord's bringing along and you're just like, this just feels normal. Normal is still good, friends. Because our God is still good. And if he provides for you, give thanks for it. Return that thanks to him. All right, let me give you some thoughts and then we'll stop. One of these thoughts is gonna take a while, so don't get too anxious. First concluding thought. You can look like a follower of God and not be in right relationship with him. Let's think about it. The faithless generation celebrated the Passover. They experienced all the miracles of Egypt. They go through the Red Sea where it's been parted. They eat manna. They drink water from a rock. They were circumcised. They partook of the Passover at least twice. Were they the people of God? Let's bring it to our day. You could be a person who went to a church camp. You can be a person who sings really loudly or with hands raised or down on your knees or however you want to do it. You can be a person, you can even be a person who checks off all the boxes because you're a box check person. Yeah, I read my scripture. Yeah, I prayed, I did this, I did that, I did all the things I'm supposed to do. You can even be somebody who has been baptized and who participates in the Lord's Supper. And you can be somebody that goes to church and you can be a student at a Christian university and you can be in the wrong relationship with God. You can have habitual sin in your life that's absolutely destroying you. You can be hiding it. You can be two-faced. And you say, even at Cedarville? And I say, yes, even at Cedarville. We see it. We see it. Because I'm friends with a lot of you on social media. And once you graduate from Cedarville and you go off, I have seen people just go to the left. Listen, this is a greenhouse. In this greenhouse, you got to grow your roots deep, but you don't live in the greenhouse. You are planted then, hopefully, Psalm 1, beside streams of living water where you're going to produce fruit in its time. But if you don't have that personal relationship with Christ, if you've never learned to walk with your Lord, if you're not doing these things out of a relationship and a posture of putting yourself in His will, then you're just going to drift off. You're going to dry up. The greenhouse is not going to be there. If you don't join a local church and lock arms with people wherever the Lord plants you, if you're not continually pressing in to do the right things, you never will drift to the right. You will always drift to the left. And friends, I have a fear for some of you that you're sitting in this audience and you're here and you're going to a Bible minor and you're in classes that have a biblical worldview, but in your heart, you know you're not where you ought to be with God. I think some probably come to a place like Cedarville because mom or dad made them or because you came here to play a sport and you know your relationship is nowhere near where it needs to be. And if that's you this morning, just listen to me for a moment. I don't want you to waste your life. I don't want you to waste your time at Cedarville, but even more importantly than that, I don't want you to be that faithless generation that is wandering aimlessly through the desert. I want me to be the generation that trusts and obeys, that crosses the Jordan, that does whatever God says do, that's able to see God do great things in this world and in our lifetimes. Friends, I don't want to waste my life and I don't want you to waste yours. So if God brought you here and you have no relationship with Him whatsoever, God loved you enough to bring you here. That's no accident. So friends, can today be the day that you trust and obey? You repent of your sins, you put your faith in Christ. Man, I had a bad summer. I got caught up in all sorts of stuff. I'm in all this bondage. Can today be the day that you lay it down? I'm gonna give you time. Maybe you need to come to the altar. Maybe you just need to lay it down. Maybe you need to pray. Maybe you need to pray with somebody. If you need to pray with somebody, there's several of us at the front. We'll be happy to pray with you. But if you just need to pray, if you need to lay it down, lay it down. If you need to be saved, be saved. Be saved today. You can sit in chapel and look just like you're part of the people of God and be really far from Him. And my heart breaks for you. Because just like the old hymn says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. So don't be the faithless generation, be the faithful generation. Listen, if you need to be baptized, go talk to your local church. If you need to renew your commitment to God today, cross the Jordan. It's time to stop and get things right. Get things right. Circumcision in the Old Testament is a foreshadowing of the circumcision of the heart. If your heart is hard and you need to confess and repent, you can do that. We're gonna sing two songs. And during those two songs, altar's wide open. You know where you are if you don't wanna come down. If you need to talk to somebody, I'm down here. General Reno's down here. John Wood's down here. There are others down here. We will be happy to talk with you. But if you need to come, you come. Dear Lord, I pray that you would do your work through your word to your people. And I pray that you'd help me not to waste my life. I pray that you would help all of us not to waste our lives. Lord, help us just to trust and obey. In Jesus' name.